Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 16th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It is truly a joy to welcome you back here to the podcast. We've been very intermittent in the production of podcasts here for a variety of reasons. I appreciate you hanging in there with us. I think we've got some of our scheduling and technical issues resolved. So we should be able to join each other with updated podcasts on a more regular basis. Again, thank you for being here and for taking the time to join us in this ministry. So having said that, let's do what we do around here. We begin in a spirit of thanksgiving, and we start that approach to thanksgiving by taking in a big, deep breath. Let's do that together. Hold on to that breath, that precious breath. Let it go. And let's take in another. Hold this breath. And don't just hold it. Savor it. Name it for the gift that it is, the gift of life, the breath of life. Let it go. And as you breathe and you're more aware, more mindful of your life's breath, I encourage you to call to mind the people, the places, the situations, the opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside. Call them to mind and name them before God. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky. Open your arms out wide. Reach, open your hands. It's all a gift. It's all going somewhere. It's all going somewhere good. And for all of this, we give thanks to God. And in this posture and in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Holy One, Covenant Keeper, you restore what is lost, heal what is wounded, and gather in those who have been rejected. Give us the faith to speak as steadfastly as did the Canaanite woman, that the outcast may be welcomed and all people may be blessed. Amen. Gospel reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel in the 15th chapter, verses 10 through 28. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Let's pause for a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you. We offer you our hearts and minds in prayer. And like Peter, we seek to understand. And so we pray. Open our minds. Bring us to a place of stillness. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction so that we could truly hear what it is you're saying to us, each and every one of us as individuals and as your church. That we could be blessed by this, your good and living word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, the lectionary challenges us with this reading about Jesus, who's just had a confrontation with the Pharisees. They've made their way to this region of Tyre and Sidon, and we have this conversation feels a little bit like a confrontation between Jesus and this dear woman. And we see a side of Jesus that can be a little unsettling. It's not in keeping with the Jesus that we want, the gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But if we've been following along in the lectionary for the last several weeks, going through the parables in Matthew 13, going through the story of Jesus who has heard the news of the death of John the Baptist, which brings him grief, but also an increased urgency and understanding of the mission that he is on, the gravity of it for him personally and these students that are in his care. We hear the story of Jesus encountering crowd after crowd after crowd that needs something similar to what this woman needs. They need healing and provision of all sorts. Voices calling out, reaching toward him, Lord, heal me. Lord, save me. Lord, I feel like I'm drowning. Lift me up. Time and time again, we see that Jesus needs to retreat from this, to re-energize and regroup. The crowds have met him here. The crowds have been meeting him everywhere he goes, all of them with this deep ache and need. Just prior to where the lectionary picks up this reading in chapter 15, the first 10 verses, we have the story that is hinted at here, but we don't get the detail of it. Jesus has been encountered by the Pharisees, the teachers of religious law. And they have another kind of a quibble question for him. Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition, for they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat? And Jesus responds to them, and why do you, by your own traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And he goes on to illustrate how they talk about that, but they seem to find a workaround, a loophole, and so they don't honor that tradition. Because the tradition never made it to their hearts. All of these laws, all of these traditions, the intention of them is to shape and form and mold and soften the human heart, to change a life. But they've been defiled. They could wash their hands ceremonially 1,000 times. But if the clean hands have no connection to the filthy heart, how is it that they can experience the love of God as so richly expressed in their law, in their traditions? Jesus calls them on that. And so we arrive where we are in verse 10. He called the crowd in and said to them, listen and understand. Did you hear the exchange I had with the Pharisees back there? It's not about what you put into your mouth. That's not what defiles you. And we'll make a distinction here between defilement and ritual uncleanness. That thing that, the best way I can explain my understanding of, that which dirties the lens, makes you unable to see what God is doing and makes you unable to project out what God is doing. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's not what you eat. It's what comes out of your mouth which reveals your heart. The disciples are taking all this in. They're students, right? They're apprentices of Jesus, and they're watching all of these interactions. because their mission is to do what he does and be like him. But they also understand, because it is the world they've grown up in, you don't pick a fight with the Pharisees. And they said to him, "Do you not understand? You just offended some of the most important people in our community." He has a harsh answer. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall in a pit. Don't listen to them." And perhaps it's also, do what they say, but don't do what they do. Don't be like them. If you keep the rituals and the traditions, know that they are designed for transformation of the heart, of the whole person. Peter's still not getting it. And if Peter's not getting it, we can assume the others are confused too. This is Peter, who's just in the previous chapter had the experience of taking a couple steps out on the water to meet Jesus in the midst of the storm and sinks under, only to be grabbed and saved by him. This is Peter and the others who have seen him walk among the crowds and perform miracles and have heard the teaching. And yet they're still apprehensive, because so much of what he says and does doesn't make any earthly sense. And we can see here also the humanity of Jesus. He's got to be tired and a bit agitated. Haven't we been in those moments in our lives? If you're a parent, or if you've ever led a group of people, or some situation in life where the requests just keep coming. The need is great. I've got to pay this bill, and I have to take this person to the doctor's office. And over here, I have three or four other decisions to be made, and I'm the one that has to make them. And you do, and you love all of these people, and all these things that you're involved in are good things, but they pull at you. And even our Lord can have his patience run thin. So he goes through this teaching. He talks about how if the ritual doesn't change the heart, there's still a disconnection between what God is calling and commanding us to do and the ritual acts that are performed. And how can you tell? Well, the evidence is what comes out of somebody's mouth. And their actions, too, the way they're expressed in their lives. But so often, the key indicator is how a person speaks. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. And if you want to get a dose of this, read the comments section if you're a person that goes on any kind of social media. Read what people say. And a place where you can really find this evident is when you see Christians criticize other Christians. Maybe it's on a church website. I read a lot of Bible commentaries and try to take in teachings from a variety of resources. And some of the things people will say really bring this teaching to light. People that imagine themselves to be following in the way of God, and yet the horrible things that they allow to come out of their mouth are an indication that none of what that they have taken in has brought any goodness or light into their life. They are defiled. And I'd imagine Jesus is seeing a lot of this. So the time comes for them. They've had this interaction. They've done their work. And as is with Jesus, it's time to move on to the next town. They go to this region of Tyre and Sidon, and like happens so often, they don't even have time to get their bags unpacked, and the need keeps coming. And the need comes in the form of this Canaanite woman. A woman, an outsider, but a human being who seems to be aware of the teaching and the traditions of the Jews. She's heard by reputation who Jesus is and what he is doing. And she has a daughter who is tormented by a demon. And like a good, faithful mama bear, she, if there is healing to be found for her daughter, and that healer is in town, by God, she's going to get in front of him and demand what she knows to be right, the healing of her child. So she calls out to him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." She appears to them as just some bedraggled, crazy woman that just won't leave them alone. And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Seems awfully exclusionary. It seems surprising to have this come out of the mouth of our Lord. But it's a true statement of his mission, that the people that God formed, the people of the Mosaic law, had gone astray. He's out looking for those sheep in his mission. This short window of public ministry, he is urgently trying to execute that mission, and the needs just keep coming at him. But this woman persists. She came, knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And maintaining his position, he answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And this is beautiful. I love this woman. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Something touches the heart. I mean, dare we even say Jesus is convicted from what he's just been teaching? He comes to illustrate that in his fatigue and in the relentless, the unrelenting requests that come at him, is it possible that even his heart was beset in protecting himself? But he looks into her eyes and he hears her earnest, heartfelt, heartbroken petition on behalf of her daughter. And he answers, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. It's a beautiful and very rich story and calls us to think deeply about who Jesus is and why he's come, about the persistence of our faith and prayers, about our religious activity and what it means. It's a text that calls us to pay attention to every word that comes out of our mouths. To be meticulous with our speech. To be certain that we mean what we say when we say it. And if sometimes we hear things spontaneously come out of our mouths, words sometimes, they escape our mouths and we wish we could reel them back in, to pause and pray for a moment to say, what does that say about the condition of my heart? What does it say about the people that come posturing as authorities, enforcers of rules and doctrine? But we can clearly see that they don't practice what they preach. It doesn't seem to have had an impact on their lives. And perhaps one of the most clarifying times in our lives are the times when we find ourselves in the position of this woman. Power and authority is in limited supply or unavailable to us. We've run out of earthly answers, but we've heard that there is one that can heal us. And even some of the people that come in his name seem to offer us nothing. That their hearts are cold and dark. So we go to the one that we know can help. And we persist. She persists because she's asking for a gift on behalf of someone else, a child. Clearly within the mission and in the work of the ministry of Jesus. I've gone on too long already, but my hope is as you reflect on this story, all of us, as we reflect on this story, it will help us to examine the places in our life where we might be defiled, where things are disorganized, where the window is a little bit too dirty to see through, where there is something choking the good within us, and that we, like her, could come in all faith. A faith without ceremony, a faith without ritual, a faith that just wells up from pure motive and a deep desire for healing. And know that that is the petition that will cut through, that will touch the heart of God. Petitions that will change lives. There is tremendous good news here, to which we can say, Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we call to you and we pray. We thank you for the ways that you abide with us. We thank you for the way you consider our petitions. But as we begin this prayer, this time with you, we must first confess. Our hearts are not always pure. Our motives are sometimes self-seeking. They can be greedy or envious. We want to be right and we want to win. We do and say things that we ought not to do. And sometimes we don't speak when we should. Sometimes we don't act when we ought to. You know these things. So we take this moment to confess these things to you, our sin. And we also come with an expectation, just like this dear Canaanite woman, that you offer grace and healing and forgiveness. And so we humbly ask to receive just that. Bless us, O God, with grace and healing and forgiveness. And we pray over this, your good and beautiful world. We pray, God, for the people in positions of power, that you would lift up men and women of clean heart, of generous spirit, agents of grace and peace, that they would be noticed, and their goodness would catch fire and light up the world. And we pray for the folks we meet on the street, in traffic, in the waiting room, online at the grocery store, these people. We would refer to them as strangers, but you know each and every one of them. Help us, O God, to see them the way you see them. And you know us. You know our joys and concerns. Sometimes we write those down on a little list, and we call it a prayer list. And other lists we make might be called a to-do list, or it's just the cycle of things that keep us up at night. But we assemble all of these, and we pause for a moment to unfold these lists and to hand them into your care and for your consideration. Pray that you'd read every word of these lists. We pray that you'd meet us in this moment as we make silent space to listen for your voice, to feel your presence. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. Help us to practice peace and quiet every day. And we pray that you would hear us as we celebrate a prayer that we've inherited, a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with a heightened awareness, a mindfulness about what we say and what we do, that we would pay attention to these things. And where we need healing and reconciliation, we would welcome those things, because they are a gift from God. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who seeks to heal us and bless us with peace. Go in peace. Amen.